John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly," New King James says, "heart, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water." John adds this parenthetical statement to explain to what Jesus referred. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus said that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is the thirst quencher. I want more of it in my life. Amen? Let's praise the Lord as we're seated. You may be seated. To understand why the words of Jesus in John chapter 7 are so important to our spiritual survival, we need to understand the role of the physical need for water for our human survival. Thirst is the craving for fluids, resulting in the basic instinct that is in every human being to drink water. Thirst is an essential mechanism involved in fluid balance in your body, and it arises from the lack of fluids in your body, or it can be caused by the concentration of certain osmolytes. Those are compounds that affect osmosis in the chemical structure in your blood, in your body. If the water volume in your body falls below a certain threshold, or the osmolite concentration becomes too high, your brain begins to signal thirst. You need water. The dictionary says that thirst is an uncomfortable feeling that is caused by the need for something to drink. The word thirst can also be a way of expressing a strong desire for something, like a thirst for knowledge. It can describe a craving that you might have, or a deep longing that you feel. Now, you know that water is of major importance to all living things. Your body is made up of at least 60% water if you are an adult. Your brain and heart, your lungs, are higher percentage of water. Your skin, muscles, kidneys, and even your bones are watery, with about 30% water in your bones. Every day, human beings must consume a certain amount of water to survive, at least in the long haul. For adult men, about 3 liters or 13 cups a day. For adult women, about 2.2 liters or about 9+ cups of water a day. Some of that water, of course, is in our food, but water serves a number of essential functions in our bodies to make sure that we are healthy and living. It is important to the life of every cell in your body. It is a building material. It regulates internal body temperature, and it is part of what allows you to metabolize and transport water throughout your system. It is used in flushing waste from your body, and it's also, interestingly, a shock absorber for your brain, spinal cord, and to a fetus that is inside of a pregnant mother. It forms saliva. It lubricates joints. And all of that because of water that is in your body. If you do not quench your thirst, then you will begin to dehydrate. The initial signs of dehydration for an adult appears when your body is depleted at only 2%. If you lose 2% of the needed water content in your body, you begin to show signs of dehydration like thirst and a reduced appetite, skin flushing, dark colored urine, a dry mouth, fatigue, mild headaches, chills, and dizziness. And at this point in thirst, just drinking water can alleviate that. If you dehydrate to a level of 5% of your total body fluid, now you have decreased sweating and urination, an increased heart rate, extreme fatigue, muscle cramps, severe headaches, nausea, and constipation. You can have neurosensory disturbances like tingling or numbness in your body. And at that point, drinking water may be enough, but you may also need intravenous fluids to hydrate your body quickly enough at just 5% dehydration. If you are 10% dehydrated, then now you are at a serious level that is life-threatening. Now, you may think that you could get by with 50% less water in your body, but at 10%, there are muscle spasms, vomiting, rapid pulse, dim vision, or temporary blindness. You can have confusion, respiratory depression, neuromuscular seizures, chest pain, unconsciousness. At 10%, you can actually die, and it is very difficult to bring a person back when they are just dehydrated 10%. A lot of athletes and people who work out experience dehydration because of a lack of fluids in their bodies. Back in 1965, at the University of Florida, an assistant coach noticed that a high percentage of their athletes were being taken to the hospital for heat-related and dehydration-related problems. In 1966, a year later, just in one August, seven Gator players were taken to Shands Hospital on the very first day of practice. On the second day, 17 players went to the hospital and 8 were admitted. He realized that these heat and dehydration issues were serious for these young athletes. So he called together a number of researchers at the University of Florida, and they began to study why these athletes were suffering from dehydration. They were not leaving the field to use the restroom. They were just sweating it out and wilting. And they realized that fluids and electrolytes were passing through their sweat glands, and the carbohydrates they were burning through exercise were not being replenished. So these scientists and doctors concocted a formula that they called Gatorade. It is commonly known as the thirst quencher. They wanted to replace the key elements that were lost by dehydration, and they now control between 75 and 80% of the sports drink market, $6 billion a year, and there are some competitors. But Gatorade asks you the question, is it in you? I like that question. I'm sure lots of preachers have preached about Gatorade, thirst quencher, and asked congregations the question, is it in you? There's a lot of stuff to preach in over 1,000 chapters in the Bible. But several days ago, the Lord began to deal with me, and on Thursday night, this past Thursday, I taught on the woman at the well. And today, I feel led of the Lord to talk about this importance of having your spiritual thirst quenched. You've got to understand why water is so important, and now you know why Jesus said what he said. He did not use any other illustration than your desperate need for water to hydrate your body and your desperate need for his spirit to hydrate your soul. And without it, you will die. John 7 opens interestingly. It is time for the Feast of the Tabernacles. And Jesus's half-brothers tell him, if you're really who you say you are, go up to the feast and reveal yourself. Well, Jesus didn't respond to that. But secretly he went up to the feast till about the middle of that 7-day celebration. He went into the temple and began to teach them. And this was an amazing time. The Jewish year is really highlighted by 7 feasts, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement. The very last feast in the fall is this Feast of Tabernacles, where they would make booths and they would remember that God delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. So here is Jesus in the middle of this massive celebration. Jews from all over the world have come to Jerusalem to celebrate. Halfway through, he's in the temple teaching, and people are confused about him. He's a prophet. He's the Messiah. Well, Christ is not supposed to come from Galilee. They could have found that out pretty fast, right? That he really was from Bethlehem, the city of David. There was a division because of him. And some said, when the Messiah comes, will he work more miracles than this man has worked? Maybe he's the real deal. And the chief priests and scribes told the soldiers to capture him. But they said, never man spake like this man. All of this is going on at the Feast of the Tabernacles. And on the last day, the very last day of the last feast of the year, this beautiful celebration, there would begin early in the morning with a procession. A priest would take a pitcher in his hand, capable of holding about 2 pints of water. He would walk in ceremony from the temple, out the water gate, down to the pool of Siloam. He would fill very carefully that pitcher with water from the pool of Siloam. And then very carefully and ceremoniously, he would make his march back to the temple courts. As he entered, it was about the time of laying out the pieces of the sacrifice to end the morning service. As the priest came through the gates, there would be 3 blasts from a trumpet that would welcome him back into the temple area. He would go toward the temple altar. There he would be joined by another priest who had a cup of wine in his hand for the drink offering. They would ascend the altar. The wine offering would be poured into a funnel to the left side of the altar, and it would go down in the base. And the other priest with the water would pour it in. The people would begin to celebrate, and they would begin to sing and chant in kind of a response worship. Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. It was a time of tremendous celebration and worship as this priest performed this ceremony of the pouring of water. We do not know exactly when he did it. But perhaps after the water was poured and the people worshiped and there was silence at the end of the ceremony and the beginning of the next, that Jesus stood up in that crowded temple area with worshipers pressed in everywhere in this moment, this pause. And with a loud voice, Jesus shouted to everyone, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." I don't know what happened then. His sermon was over, but everybody in the Temple Mount got the message as his words echoed through the mountains that surround Jerusalem. If anybody thirsts, this water from this pitcher will not solve it. Religion will not solve it. But a relationship with Jesus Christ will quench the thirst of any man, of any woman. If any man thirst, come unto me. If you believe on me, as the scriptures have said, out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. John said, this describes the experience that they would later receive on the day of Pentecost when they would speak in tongues for the very first time. and the Spirit would flow out of them like rivers of living water. It is not just a mental decision to accept Christ. It is not joining a church. It is not a little babbling brook or a trickling stream. It is described as rivers, plural, water flowing out of you as the Spirit expresses itself to you in a way that quenches the thirst of your soul. Is it in you? The Old Testament spoke much about this. David wrote, "My, as the deer is panting after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God." He would say, "My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." He could have been describing secular life in modern America, a dry and parched culture where there is no water. But we have found a source. It is not at 2960 Skyview Drive, but it is in you, a well of water that springs up into everlasting life. It can be in you here. It can be in you at home. It can be in you in your car. It is in you as you go to work. Wherever you go, that well goes with you. It is a well. It is a river. Living water. Isaiah spoke about this water. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation." He gave an altar appeal when he said, "Ho to everyone that thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy?" You see, there is a world of people, and there is a world of Christian people, and there is a world of Pentecostal people who need to go back to the well and have another drink of living water. You need to go back and let that river flow out of you. You need to go back. It is the only thing in the world that will satiate your spiritual thirst. It alone. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." To the woman at the well. She's there, 100-foot deep Jacob's well. For centuries, it has been their supply of water. She has her leather bucket and her long goat hair rope. And every day she has to go back for a little more water. She has tried to quench her thirst in relationships, and it has failed 5 times. She is living with the man who is not her husband. She goes back to the well again because all she knows is natural water. But Jesus said, "If you knew who it was that talked to you, you would ask of me, and I would give you living water. I would give you something from a source that is deeper than Jacob's well, that is more powerful than Jacob's well, a well that you can take back to your town, back to your home. It will go with you, you wherever you are." Jesus said, "I will give you living water, and if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again." Now, if you stop drinking living water, you will thirst again. And I believe I'm talking to wonderful people in the house today that have drank from that well before. You've been there and you know what living water is like. But you have taken control of the handle and you've dumbed it down and turned it down to a respectable level, a controllable level. So your walk with God is like a little trickle of water, like a drippy sink instead of a river of living water. I invite you back to the relationship Jesus promised us. It will be in you a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. You know that everything else that promises to satisfy your thirst never does for very long. You thirst again and again. That's just the way we are. That we cannot get enough of work or play or media or this or that. We are continually thirsty for more. People who do not know God often wreck their lives in the pursuit of satisfaction, to quench the spiritual thirst that is in them. Sometimes their lifestyle is much like drinking something that is more of a diuretic. In other words, the more you drink, the more dehydrated you are. The more you chase after that, the more thirsty and depleted your soul really is. You can never drink enough of every other thing to satisfy your thirst for living water. There is only one source, but it is an endless supply. It is a universal supply. And wherever you are and whoever you are, you can have it today. I started to go down the path of talking about rich and famous people who commit suicide. I read several things about that. I thought, no, I'm not going to bog my message down in that. But you know, stuff does not satisfy. Fame does not satisfy. Work does not satisfy. Human relationships, even good ones, with the closest person in your life will not satiate your spiritual thirst. There is only one source. There is only one solution. And without it, you will die. So we come back to the simple truth that we need desperately in our lives, living water. Jeremiah told us something interesting in chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They have rejected me, the source, and they have now gotten another source. But you've got to pour water in to pull water out. But this cistern, this container, is a leaky container. The more you pour in, the more flows out. That's just the way it works with a broken cistern. But we can come back to a source that never runs dry, that never disappoints. 3 about dehydration? I want you to think about this in the spiritual. Because I've watched people who, because of spiritual dehydration, they're dry. Their mouth is dry. Their relationship with God is dry. They show signs of spiritual fatigue and dizziness. I've seen people that have more high levels of spiritual dehydration that have extreme fatigue. They just can't live for God. They try to walk and they trudge along, but they don't really have any spiritual energy. You can tell that the spiritual life is waning away. They've tried to fill their life with everything but God. And I'm not talking just about sin, but everything else. And there are other people who their life is all cramped up and tingling and numbness.
And then some that are kind of in spiritual spasms. They can't see truth anymore. They've got confusion. They have become spiritually unconscious. It is because of a lack of living water in their life. 2%, 5%. At 10% dehydration, you could well die. And there are people in this room right now who are dying of thirst. And you're sitting right at Jacob's well, the real Jacob's well, the spiritual well that could change your life forever. I'd like for you to bow your heads right now. I come in Jesus' name right now for every thirsty soul. And I know, Lord, that you provided living water so that we would never thirst again. I pray that in this house today, you would let the power of your Spirit rekindle living waters, that you would talk to the heart of that man or woman that is spiritually dry and bankrupt, that you would somehow, God, give them hope that today, if they will surrender themselves to you, that you will restore to them living water. And I pray for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, would you lift your hands to the Lord right now? And would you begin to praise Him and worship Him in this house? In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, at 6 hours that marked his crucifixion, there are 7 sayings from the cross. But in the middle of that hanging there, the 5th saying from the cross, Jesus, the Bible said, I thirst. As God in flesh was yielding up the God in him to pay the price for the sins of all the world, I believe that Jesus Christ experienced human thirst. But deeper than that, he expressed the cry of every heart, the lack of God in your life. And he tasted death for every man. He knew thirst so you would never thirst again. Now, for that well, for that river to flow, there's got to be a channel, a conduit. And often that conduit is clogged up with all kinds of stuff. Maybe sin, may just be life. But it has kept you from private devotion. It has kept you from time with God. It has kept you from expressing yourself in worship as we did here a while ago, so that the flow of the Holy Ghost would wash you clean. So today, before we go any further, we need to have a time of pulling all the debris out of the well of our life so that living water can flow in us. So as you right now begin to confess to God, begin to repent, begin to ask Him to remove from you everything that obstructs the flow of living water from your life. If there is sin in your life right now, would you repent of it? Would you say, God, forgive me. I am thirsty. I am miserable. I have had enough of this dryness and spiritual dehydration. I need you, and I need to clean out my life so that living water can flow. Let's pray right now. Jesus, I come to repent for all the demands of life that would push you to the side and cause the well of my salvation to dry up. I pray, oh God, for every man and woman in this house. I ask, God, as they repent of their sins, as we confess our own busyness, as we confess, oh God, of all the obstructions that are in our life, I pray, oh God, that you would cleanse us today. Oh God, forgive us, Lord, for forsaking you, the fountain of living waters, and trying to satisfy ourselves with a cistern, God, with a fixed amount of water that always leaks out. For relationships that let us down. For disciplines, oh God, that do not satisfy spiritual thirst. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for that busy husband, Lord, who is trying to keep it together. And he somehow, God, just can't do it. But I know, Lord, if he would return to the source, if he would keep his heart with all diligence, that out of that spiritual life would flow water. I pray for that mom today, Lord, who is frazzled, oh God, and stressed. Who seems to have no time for you, Lord. But I pray, God, if we would press you back into our lives and we would go to that well every day, that you, Lord God, would provide a source. I pray for single parents today, God, that are at their wits' end. They don't know where to go or what to do. They do not have the ability in them, God, to parent their children, to make ends meet. Oh, God, I pray for the precious elders of our church. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, I pray today that you would let living water flow. Come on, clean out the well of your life today. Empty out all the stuff that keeps living water from flowing in you. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now. Your frustration, your anger, your stress. Your ambitions, your hopes and dreams. They all depend on you being spiritually hydrated, having living water flowing out of you.